The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. I don't know if we're going to be serious, if we're going to be kind of lighthearted, maybe a combination of both. But I'm proud to have A.J. Rice on the show. He's president and CEO of Publius PR. He's the editor-in-chief of the Publius National Post, author of the new number one bestseller, The White Privilege Album. Bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. You know something, AJ, you just got to love it. Just reading the title makes me smile.
I had to go there.
Yeah.
That's right.
You had to go there.
I had to go there.
I even love the endorsements that you have on the back of it. Like Joseph Stalin, AJ really gets it. Obviously, I'd send him to the gulag if I could. But he outlines my plan masterfully in his new book.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, Brother Bill, great to be here. You know, if we don't win this election, you and I are going to be in the gulag together reading that book.
Yeah, I've been talking about that. We'll just, be out there making mud cookies, I suppose. But, yeah, this
That's
is
right.
pretty. But the thing is, though, I was talking with another guest a little bit earlier. I would say arguably that the Orange Man is definitely in better shape, I think, than he was a few weeks ago. Would that be fair to say? I think so.
Really? Sure. I mean, and at this moment against Hillary and at this moment against Biden, he's in a better. I mean, he's never been in this good a shape, which, you know, leaves me skeptical. But the coalition has changed. This is not the same deplorable, you know, Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome group that he had in 16. It has become even more sort of working class and blue collar, more multi-ethnic. And, you know, here we are 8 years later, Bill, and, you know, look at some of these people that he's got in the battleship with himself. You know, Kamala can stand on stage and say that she's got Cheney and the Romneys and the McCains and the this is and the that, you know, establishment figures here in the swamp where I'm at. But Trump's battleship is filled with Ron Paul people, Bernie Sanders people, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, Elon Musk. So, you know, ladies and gentlemen, who do you want to roll with?
Yeah, it's really a much bigger tent. It's fascinating to watch him do this. And it's almost as if what has happened is that the Republican Party has been totally transformed. It is not the George W. Bush Party anymore, for sure. It's not that. It's not the Paul Ryan Party. That's all gone right now, which I imagine is why there's been so much effort at getting the Never Trumpers like the Cheneys out there and giving them, some oxygen. But it's really
sure,
like.
But I mean, how much power can she have? She lost her own reelection rate by 60%.
I know.
So she's got what, the Carlyle Group and Boeing?
Well, of course, that Boeing could be junk bond status later today. We'll find out. But I'll get back to you on that
right.
one. You know, the thing is, though, AJ.
Well, I think Liz Cheney is junk bond status.
Yeah, politically. But in all truthness, though, I mean, the Republicans are truly the big tent in. And I think that really is mostly Trump. I don't think you can really look at any other movement that could have brought this. Would you agree or disagree on that?
Correct. And you have to understand something. This is the reason you've got, you know, four phony indictments and two phony impeachments and two assassins on the field. Because it's really not just about Trump. It's about later. And what do I mean by that? Win or lose this election, for the next 30 years, some busboy right now in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, is calling himself a Trump Republican. Dude working at a car wash in Fort Lauderdale, Trump Republican. You're going to have waves of us, and they know that. That's why they've thrown everything at him, because he's become a counterculture icon. I mean, we just now are escaping the era where people stopped calling themselves Reagan Republicans, right?
Yeah.
So, but that's what happens in American history. If you look at it, 240 years, there are these characters that reset the board. They want the great reset? Well, you got one. You got one in the Republican Party.
Yeah, Trump definitely reset it. Now, and this, of course, we're at this point now, AJ, where it's like the two parties are not about, okay, you know, one's left and one is right. It's almost like, you know, one wants to make the country better. One wants to actually, you know, truly have a better life for people. And the other just like... we want to destroy it. We want to destroy it and take it down. It's really that
sure.
simple at this point.
And that's that's why you hear terms like white privilege and toxic masculinity and the patriarchy and all this nonsense.
Well, it's supposed to shut. It's supposed to shut down debate. It's supposed to shut you down. You're supposed to go, oh, you said white privilege. I can't say anything now.
But this audience is smart enough to know that it's really about something bigger. And the three bigger things that the left is trying to remove so that, you know, what can become unburdened by what has been. The three big things are Western civilization, the middle class, and the nuclear family. They call these things constructs of white supremacy, white privilege, on and on and on. But these things are really colorblind. We are the most successful civilization in Earth's history, and anyone can come here if they do so legally and participate in the great experiment, right? And they can't stand that, which is why Black Lives Matter put on their website that they're against the nuclear family, which is why every policy that Democrats come up with, it's by design to crush the middle class. I don't care whether it's the Green New Deal or, you know, redistributing migrants to people's front yards. That is to soak the middle class so that, Bill, we're all peasants, mm-hmm. and they can have a true Marxist sort of, you know, utopia here.
Yeah, it has to be you have to bring up Cloward Piven when you're looking at what's been going on. Fair enough?
That's
really?
Right.
Okay.
That's right.
And
look, they learned a long time ago, because we have a thriving middle class. They took off their, you know, Lakers jersey, put on their Celtics jersey. They took off their economic Marxist jersey and put on their cultural one. And for, you know, and we talked about this with the Woking Dead. They've been doing the long march now, Bill, for 100 years. Right.
Yeah.
But every once in a while, we have some of these woke Waterloo moments, as I call them. And Elon Musk being red pilled, shutting down their ability to run Twitter from CIA headquarters is one of them.
Yeah, indeed. Now, let me ask you, though, because the White Privilege album, once again, bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. Let me I'm going to just ask the question, because I love the fact that President Trump has been able to be the big tent to do this. All right. And yet there is what gives me pause, and I want to be, because like I said, you talk to all these different people within the political realm, and I'd like to get your opinion on this, AJ. What has concerned me, though, is that even the Trump administration or the Trump people seem to be more wanting to talk about blacks and Hispanics, and they don't just want to acknowledge white Americans that are still going to be the vast majority of their supporters. It's almost like they're still embarrassed to bring up the fact that their supporters are white. Am I right or wrong about that? It just seems that way to me. It irritates me.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's on a case-by-case basis. But, I mean, no one has gone into – I mean, look, the poorest counties in the United States are not in Compton or Brooklyn.
Yeah.
They're in Halifax County, North Carolina, and the mountain counties of West Virginia. And Trump is like the only president that's gone into these places. I mean, look at him the other day.
Agreed.
Out there in North Carolina.
The reason I'm bringing this up, though, maybe I should specify a little more clearly. It's like I'm listening to Sean Hannity yesterday, because we have him on our radio station, and he spends about 20 minutes talking about everything that President Trump is doing, and he ends up doing criminal justice reform, and he ends up doing this for blacks, he ends up doing that for blacks, he ends up doing that. You know, hey, you know, don't do crimes and then you don't get arrested is kind of the way I will tend to look at things. I think in some ways that you know, we're so busy pandering in the Republican Party at this point that we forget to dance with everybody. That's all.
Look, there's some affirmative action thinking on the right, believe me. I mean, there are people that get on Fox News because they're, you know, black, gay, and Jewish all at the same time.
Yeah.
There might be someone smarter. There might be a white dude smarter that looks like an Abercrombie model. He can't get on, right? So it does go on. And with the broadcasters, especially with Sean, you know Sean. I mean, Sean's got his list. He ticks off. But we're trying to expand the board here at the last minute.
Okay.
So my goal is, you know, I mean, Trump has lifted up the forgotten men and women, and a lot of them are working class whites, without a doubt, right? But the working class world is not as white as it used to be. And, you know, the black churches and some of these sort of, you know, racial supremacy groups like La Raza, they're trying to keep Latins and blacks and others in check and to keep them on the plantation. You know, most of us, I mean, it wasn't that long ago where Italians weren't considered white, right?
That's true.
And you know, when it comes to Jewish voters, maybe this time around, after they see the way Hamas is getting love letters from the left, maybe they'll stop voting for their own beheading. And it looks like, in Pennsylvania in particular, she has made a grave mistake not making Josh Shapiro her running mate, because she is underwater with Jewish voters in Pennsylvania, because those voters have relatives in Israel. And she, just the other day, she had some Hamas nut in the crowd with her that was escorted out. But as he was leaving, she's saying, yeah, we agree with everything he's saying. We'll talk about it later.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's a whole coalition here that is rising together. But I do understand what you mean. You know, don't ever forget who brought you to the dance, right?
Yeah, and it seems like that. Here's the issue that I have with it is that in today's America, if you're going to make everything about racial identity, and even the right ends up kind of going down that road and saying, "Well, we got to get these people in because of their racial identity here," and everyone's supposed to have a racial identity except white people. Everyone else is supposed to have her. Everyone's supposed to be here. What are you going to do for me? And I'm of a certain ethnicity. What about me? What about me? What about me? But everybody's able to do that except white people. And I think that's a real problem. And in fact, you even have white people that are saying, well, we can't worry about white people. Well, if everybody else is worrying about their ethnicity, isn't this ultimately where we're going to be, out here battling each other for racial spoils? I hate to say that, but that's kind of the path we're on right now.
Sure. We need to resist the temptation of playing the identity politics game that the left has, without a doubt. I mean, Irish people are very different than Greek people, right? I mean, it's all about melanin in our skin and how close to the Mediterranean we were.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to resist that, because then we just fall into the same sushi menu, politically correct nonsense that I'm making fun of in my book.
Yeah. White privilege, by the way, as you write in the book, gave us Western civilization, the middle class, and the nuclear family. And it's dedicated to the very fine people about this. What are you hoping to accomplish with this? Because, like I said, you know, I don't know if you're hoping to get us to laugh about this, some of the craziness, or if you're here to school us.
Sure.
I mean, how would you
describe this? Well, look, I grew
up
on Limbaugh, as did you, and his job was to use irreverent humor to illustrate truth.
Yeah.
So I go through 12 chapters. Chapter 1 is January. Chapter 12 is December. And we do the 12 months of privilege. And I take you through an entire calendar year. And we talk about traditions and holidays and moments in history, sometimes bringing racial harmony, and other times just, you know, being a troll master that I am, having a little fun, showing some of the craziness that's out there and the way that the left tries to shoehorn us into our little, you know, Crayola 64 box colors. When in reality, we're not a, you know, multicultural country. We have one culture here, Western culture. We are a multi-ethnic country, however. But just because we're a melting pot and we've got Guinness on St. Patrick's Day and tequila on Cinco de Mayo doesn't mean we throw out the Magna Carta and the Bill of Rights and English common law and all the things that have made us as successful as they have.
That is the takeaway right there of the White Privilege album, right there. You pretty much explained it. Now, out here on the West Coast, we have very high Hispanic representation, especially California, places like that. You write there, I think it's in the August section of White Privilege, that it's a matter of time until Hispanics are white adjacent. What did you mean by that?
Exactly.
What do you think?
So that's going on right now. And 2 weeks from now, Bill, I'll have to hop back on the phone and find out how many African-Americans and Jewish-Americans are all, or, you know, Latins and everyone else is white adjacent. So the left is trying to explain the movement of non-Western European voters towards the Republican Party. And each time they do, so it's, let's say, Asian Americans trying to get in, you know, basically sued Harvard. They won that affirmative action case.
Yeah.
Because they were using, you know, the affirmative action rules to get slots at Ivy League schools. Oh, so the left comes along. They're white. New York Times calls them white adjacent. Hispanics moving towards Trump.
Now white adjacent. Now white adjacent. Isn't that almost
that
their version of calling someone an Uncle Tom? Right.
I mean, yeah. I mean, it's. But there's. Well, it's more insane than that. It's the bleed through. Basically, like, you know, you're not that dark and not that ethnic, and they're going to decide who's appropriately ethnic, and right.
Oh.
This is how crazy the statement is.
It's kind of like authentically black, right? You know, Barack Obama.
Correct.
Is he authentically black? Those
Correct.
Questions that were raised.
Hey, look, Bill. I remember a time when the first black president was a chubby white guy from Arkansas. So anything's possible.
All right, AJ Rice, president and CEO of Publius PR. We have some of your books we're also going to be giving away as lovely gifts here for very fine people on both sides. Okay, we're going to be doing some of that. But how do people find out more, A, about the book, B, more about you? Because I'm in communication with you all the time. You have an amazing stable of some of the best radio guests out there. You're some of the people I talk
to. Well, look, when I'm not writing, you know, The Woking Dead and the White Privilege album, Volume 1 and 2, and by the way, The Woking Dead just came out in paperback, so you can grab a copy of that, as you know, for your Christmas, you know, for your blue-haired niece and nephew as a stocking stuffer there this holiday season. When I'm not doing that, I run Publius PR, and you can go to publiuspr.com. We like to think of ourselves, Bill, as the center of the MAGA cinematic universe. We have represented everyone from RFK Jr. and Vivek to Tulsi Gabbard and Donald Trump Jr. And Donald Trump Sr.'s you know, publishing house.
Yeah.
So which given us, you know, Peter Navarro and Carrie Lake and MTG and Judge Jeanine. Yeah. So we're in the mix. You know, this isn't just some PR firm where I'm just some chubby guy with Venetian blinds. I am in the mix. I'm talking to all these people all day long. And we, you know, I like to think that I've collected a sort of Avengers level MAGA superhero team that is trying to stop this country from falling apart.
And speaking of a bit of the falling apart thing, I was disappointed to read the news about Rudy Giuliani. And where do you think that's going to go? In essence,
I don't know.
In essence, you know, questioning the veracity of an election, which Democrats, of course, have done forever and forever, has now gotten him essentially, defamatory judgment, you know, against him.
And look, some of that stuff will be challenged, possibly. You know, I don't know whether Kemp or Trump. I have to look at the exact. I think it's Georgia state law stuff. But Kemp, I mean, he could be pardoned. I think he was already stripped of his law license. But I mean, he's become, you know, look, he's you know, based. I mean, he's a Trump guy. He's never not going to be a Trump guy. But when you think about the last 25 years of Rudy Giuliani, it is. A sort of sad, sort of Don Quixote situation here, where you know the left wing of this country has destroyed this man,
and of course in the process of destroying a lot of other people. So I guess we better saddle up I guess hoist the black flag. Okay, we'll just kind of keep it at that. Hey AJ, great job on this one, and I'll get all your information up. I certainly want to have you back after the election, and we'll have an interesting conversation
about where it went.
Okay,
you guys.
Thanks a bunch.
My old stomping ground there. My old employer is within the environs of this signal. So, you know, I love you guys out there. I know you're all patriots, and let's get out there and vote, people.
Now, AJ, you said your old employer. Did you work for Talk Radio Network?
Indeed, I did.
You did? You worked for, was it back, the Roy Masters group back at the time, huh?
Mark. Yeah, Mark.
Mark.
Yeah.
Okay, Mark. Very good.
Well,
AJ?
Mark worked for Roy, but I worked for Mark.
Yeah, what's Mark doing these days? Do you keep in touch with him?
I have no idea. I haven't seen him in almost a decade. I haven't heard from him.
Okay.
So.
All right.
Well, we had quite the crew there. I mean, everyone from Ben Shapiro and Jerry Doyle, Michael Savage, Mancal, Ingram, Monica Crowley, Tammy Bruce, Phil Hendry. We had the whole gang there. It was quite the company once upon a time.
Phil Hendry, what an amazing talent, because he's one of those guys that I think you had to be a little bit mentally ill to be able to pull off what he did. He was great. Absolutely
this
great.
Is true.
In a good way,
true.
All right? Hey, good stuff.
Yeah.
AJ, thanks for the call, as always. We'll have you back, all right? Be well.
All right, Bill. Love you, brother. Thank you.
Take care. 729, AJ Rice, once again, president and CEO of Publius PR, the White Privilege album, bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. As a matter of fact, I'll give you a copy of this if you'd like it. It's a great read. And in fact, I'll give away two copies right now. Caller 9, caller 10, 770-5633. 770-KMED. Have some fun with that.
If exterior painting is on your to-do list, that's 770-KMED.
Hey, congratulations to Rich Massimino and Anna Strauss, both winning a copy of the White Privilege album from AJ Rice. And I'm feeling generous because I have the copy which I read. It's only been read once by me. Okay, so I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to go, I'll hit the phones live and we'll see who's there. We'll see if someone would like that. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Hello? Let me try this again. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
This is Kevin.
Kevin. What's your last name?
Yes. Garacki.
Hey, Kevin Garacki, we're going to give you a copy of the White Privilege album. Are you feeling privileged at this moment?
Absolutely. every day.
All right. Bringing racial harmony to very fine people on both sides. I think you'll really enjoy this, and you want to pass this book around from A.J. Rice, okay? Hang on. I'll get your information here, Kevin, and we'll get you set up. And then after we break for news, more of your phone calls on anything that happens to be on your mind. Maybe tell us what you're thinking, how you're feeling about the particular races, both local, state, and national. And I might actually bring a little bit of heat on what's happening with the state elections, too. We'll talk about that. 770-5633. This is the Bill Myers Show.
An intelligent solution saves you money. This is Randall at Advanced Air. It takes an expert to navigate the current HVAC rebates. Call Advanced Air to save big on equipment replacement. Advanced Air is currently offering an additional rebate on qualified.com.
Hi, this is Mark from Jay Austin, and I'm on KMED.
739 over Jay Austin. I'm sure that they're just going crazy right now with gold sitting up there at, what is it, 2748 right now? Man, just crazy, crazy times for sure in the precious metal markets, that's for sure. What's on your mind? 770-5633. Let's talk with Matt. Hey, Matt. Good to have you on.
Hey, Bill. So I have two things. The first thing is, before the Fed dumped rates 0.5%, the 10-year Treasury, which a lot of the economy is based upon, including mortgages, was at 3.6%.
Mm-hmm.
As of this morning, it's up again. The yield is now 4.25%.
Which means that mortgages will be higher still?
I've said this. I don't think we're done with inflation. I understand the Fed dropping rates, but the bond market, the U.S. Treasury market, which is, I think, the biggest in the world, now thinks interest rates are going higher, or they wouldn't be. So I think there's more concern on the inflation side than maybe there is on a downturn in the economy. I know the indices have been acting a little funky lately, but when you look at a chart that goes back a couple of years, the most recent moves are meaningless. So there's that. And then I have a different take, great conversation with AJ, but I've got a slightly different take on the lack of focus on white Americans.
Yeah, okay. Well, restate this for people who may have just joined us and didn't hear the AJ Rice interview, okay? One of my irritations right now is how somehow white Americans, white conservatives, white Republicans are falling in the same trap of identity politics by thinking that, well, I certainly can't fight for anything for my people, so to speak, if you're going to call that. Everybody else is allowed to fight for their people, as it were. But, you know, for white people, for Caucasian Americans to do anything about it, all of a sudden, you're racist, you're privileged, you're this and that and the other. And I dare say even the Republican Party falls in this because everything about it. I listened to Sean Hannity yesterday. We're talking about all the wonderful things that were done for African Americans. And frankly, a criminal justice reform was a bad deal. It was a bad thing to do. And I remember the Republicans during the Trump administration were just hitting me time and time again about how we need to do this. Listen, people are doing crimes. You have to do the time there. And yet, it's almost like we're having to, like it's an apology tour in the Republican Party right now. And then Republicans are just as much into identity politics for everybody except their voter base. You see what I'm getting at?
I do. Well, here's my take. I remember way back in the day, I'm a basketball guy, but way back in the day.
Yeah, could you reposition your phone again? I'm losing you.
Yeah, I'm trying not to. You know what? U.S. Cellular, I don't know what's going on. This has been going on for 2 months now. The signal has been awful where I am. But so I'll try to yell into the phone. So here's my take on it. Back when the San Antonio Spurs were good, not great, but good, David Robinson was the best player. I think he was like a 20-point, 15-rebound guy, game after game after game after game. You always knew what you were going to get from him. He was a hustle guy, very talented. Then a guy named Tim Duncan came along as a rookie. Then they win the title. And it's like almost everybody forgot about the contribution that David Robinson was making. He was still getting his 20 and 15 every single night. He was a reliable player. But then you get this rookie coming in, and the rookie's killing it too. And then they win 5 titles in 10 years or something like that. I think that's what's happening here. I think the reason that the Republican Party, and I think rightfully so, is marketing our rookies now. Where these people are rookies to our party. Tulsi Gabbard is a rookie. Mm-hmm. RFK Jr. is a rookie. Elon Musk is a rookie. These people are all new rookies, and so is the Hispanic population. And I would argue that both the Hispanic and the Black populations in this country, even though they're rookies to our party, I think it was inevitable that they would get to where they're getting now. Because I've seen a lot of these polls, like you have, this move over to the right for these particular voting groups has been moving more to the right. But to me, it's natural because, first of all,
but are they going to the right? Then let me ask you. I think this is a serious question, and maybe I'll pose this to the Southern Oregon jury. Are these people moving to the right, or are they moving to we're just not Democrats?
Well, there's a few things here, right? You've got the left has moved farther left.
Yes.
And in my regard, from my perspective, they're now Marxists with all the things they've done in the last 4 years and proposing. These are Marxist ideas.
And you have to remember, glad to have Tulsi Gabbard on board. Glad to have, RFK Jr. on board, et cetera, et cetera. Elon Musk. But remember, these people have not Elon Musk necessarily, but these people are not necessarily in line with most Republican voters on most of what they're talking about.
I don't think it's on most. I don't believe it's on most. There's the one wedge issue that I don't know if it's never going to be a divisive issue, and that's abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And I honestly don't know, where Tulsi Gabbard is on that. I believe RFK Jr. is, pro-choice. But sometimes you got to take things where they are right now. And that's why I use that basketball analogy. Because we are the veterans, right? The people who are white. I'm Italian. It's funny. When I met my grandmother-in-law for the first time 31 years ago, she shook my – and she's Jewish. She shook my hand and she said, it'll be nice to have some color in the family. So I had a front row. She was 86 at the time or 85 at the time. So I had a front row seat for that to see that, oh, wow, I never really thought of myself. But I'm Latino. I mean, the Italians are Latin too.
Yeah.
So I get it. I get it. To her, I was the same as anybody who would be considered Hispanic.
Well, I mean, and there are people that where my relatives came from, the Slavic nations, they weren't considered white quite often. They weren't looked at the same way as white Europeans were in the day.
Now we're all white adjacent.
I suppose. I suppose. But you see what I'm getting at, though. Is that, everyone's supposed to be looking out for their particular interest, except white people. In fact, white people, if anything, you're supposed to just give everything up, and you're not supposed to be, you're supposed to be okay being the butt of all the jokes. And for some reason, some poor Hispanic in Southern California is more worthy of assistance than some poor drug-addicted family out in Josephine County who happens to be white, because they have white privilege. That's the nation we're in right now here. Matt?
Well, Bill, I'm going to push back a little bit.
Okay.
I don't see that. I don't see that as being the case. I don't think that, and I hate even talking in terms of color. I really do, because
I know.
When I was growing up, we never talked about this.
But you see, the system is pushing there, and the Republican Party has gone into that. They're in the same trap right now. And the Republicans, one of the biggest challenges I've seen with Republicans is that Republicans end up never pushing back against the left. It's just agreeing with 90% of what they are. It's that last 10% that we're against. Right now we're against, gender-affirming care, rather than just saying,
right.
No, knock this all off. Pull back from it.
Here's the thing. There are a lot of shifts, and Trump takes a lot of the credit, or should get a lot of the credit for this. What Trump has done, even going to Madison Square Garden, going into the Bronx, going into that barber shop, all of the things that he's doing.
Brilliant moves, by the way. Brilliant.
Yes. The fact is, the Republicans were the party of anti-slavery. And, there was this big switch they talk about that isn't a real thing. But something did happen. So where we are right now at the tent, to me, I think we're promoting our rookies to the party. These are not rookie, voters, but they're rookies to the party. And they're saying to themselves, you know what? Think about this. You had an Arab mayor of an Arab-run town in Michigan endorse Trump. In a million years, you would have never seen that. But the crossover, as you're pointing out, is that they don't want all the gender-affirming stuff pushed on their kids because their religion matters. Their culture to them or ethnicity. I like AJ's term, ethnicity. It matters to them. They still are considering themselves Americans in a lot of cases, but they want to keep their religion close to their hearts, and they want their kids to embrace their religious beliefs. And so you're finding a lot of commonality here. I hear what you're saying on the crime bill and what's the other one? The first. Yeah, there's another one in there. I understand.
You know, going to Kim Kardashian for advice on how to handle sentencing. Bad optics, as far as I was concerned. You know, I remember I would talk with groups called Right on Crime and things like that, and it was all about essentially, well, frankly, it's what ended up, emptying some of the jails of some people who really probably should have stayed in jail still, you know, and we don't, but we were out there pandering for the vote because we're thinking that the way we pander for the vote is that we're not going to hold you accountable for being for criminal behavior. That was the way we were working it then.
I agree with you on the crime thing. I think there can be some reasonableness about it where you can say, look, there are some people who probably shouldn't have been doing 10 years in prison for, you know, I would argue a not a harmless crime per se, but a crime that was only harming the person committing the crime. It wasn't victimizing you or me or somebody else.
I would agree the victimless crime, but you know, what has happened, is that they would look at drug dealing as victimless crime. And I would disagree with that being a victimless crime.
I do, too, because it affects a lot of people. But so I just want to end with kind of my take on it. And I think what's going on now, and I think it's completely good. And that is right now we are promoting our rookies to conservatism. And I think what's going to happen over time is as they join this group, I think they will become more conservative over time because, look, Americans who are black are some of the most Christian people you'll ever meet as a whole, but they still buy into the, you know,
but they still buy into the socialist plantation
as a large group at the moment. But yeah. I think you're going to see a transition away from that. They will become more conservative. And I think we're in a pretty good place right now. I think, especially with Hispanics, my best friend was Hispanic. We were surfing buddies for 25 years. We still talk all the time. We never talked about this stuff, but the fact is his family was religious. They loved America. There are so many people out there that feel the same way. They just needed to know that we're going to promote the rookies. If you try us, we're going to let you know that we support the things you support. You just got caught up in legacy politics. You got caught up in that. That's not what this is. You need to come to our side because you believe the
all
same
right.
things we believe.
All right.
That's
all right. We'll do. Matt, I appreciate it. I know I took a little more time than I thought I would, but I thought it was an important issue to float out. And like I said, when I listen to Sean Hannity go on a half hour on everything we've done for blacks, it's like, okay, yeah, what are you doing for your actual base? You have, you know, the base is, the Republicans look at the white base at this point in time. I'm talking of a national basis. They look at the white base as the equivalent of what the Democrats view the blacks, they view African-Americans, is that, well, you know, where are you going to go? You know, we don't have to worry about you. You're going to be with us one way or the other. You agree with me on that? You got to agree with me on that. Republicans tend to look at it that way.
I got to push back, and I will tell you this. even in Josephine County, we're calling low propensity voters. I had some unbelievable conversations last night when I was making calls.
Now you're talking about it locally. I'm talking about as a national political force. I'm not talking about what you're doing here. You know, in Joe County.
Here's what I'm telling you: there are white people who have given up on this country. And Appalachia and other areas where they just said, look, I live far enough away from the city. None of this affects
me. I agree with you. And that's what I said. And I said, under the guise of pushing promoting the rookies, as you termed it then, the people that have given up.
I'm saying the opposite. I'm saying Trump is actually getting these people to vote.
I hope you're right. I hope you're right about that. Okay. So, all right, Matt, appreciate the call. Thanks for that. 770-5633. Let me go to next line here. Like I said, I spent a little more time there than I thought, but I think it's an important issue. Hi, good morning. Who's this?
Hi, Bill. This is James.
Hey, James. What's going on?
I've got 3 points here on food. And Kamala at one time said she wanted to do away with meat, people eating meat.
Yeah.
And I haven't heard that brought up again. And then the next thing is they said that the military, they wanted to have lab-grown meat for the soldiers. I would not enlist at all if I had to eat lab-grown meat. The next thing is Bill Gates said he wants mRNA in meat for people with vaccine hesitancy. He wants to put the mRNA vaccine. I don't know if he's already done it or not. But
No. James, I think that the answer for this is simple. Better buy your own cow, okay?
Well, I'm not voting for Kamala because I like meat.
Yeah. All right. Appreciate the call. It's 754-770-5633. 770-KMUD. All right, you gave me your feelings about that conversation that I had with Matt. Like I said, I just get I get concerned that the Republicans are under the guise of pressing or promoting the rookies. You know, you pander to the people and you just assume that you don't have to, that you can allow the beatdown of Caucasian Americans to continue under the guise of, well, as long as you end up getting more of the rookies, you know, in play. I don't know. You think about it? 770-5633.
Life's busy, and you need...
Oh, okay?
Weekdays 9 to noon on 106.3 KMED. You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
Ah, I need the polka just to cheer me. There's no such thing as sad polkas. They just don't exist. Here's Grandma Protek. Kirby Vacuum Cleaner, Sunday mornings. And the polkas are playing. My father yelling at her, "Mom, Mom, Mom! It's my house!" All right, let's talk with Robin. Hello, Robin. How you doing this morning?
Hi. That's a great visual. I like Grandma with a vacuum cleaner. That's great.
Oh yeah. Well, we call Grandma Protek Mrs. Clean because, like I said, Sunday morning, 6 o'clock. There's the old Kirby vacuum cleaner. And you know, you remember the Kirby vacuum cleaners they used to sell?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They weighed about 200 pounds and had all the attachments on it and probably cost about 5 months' wages, you know, back in the day. But everybody had them in those days. But she was out there.
Because the guys who sold them were cute.
Is that how they sold them, huh?
Yes, and they'd go to the door and they'd come in and then they'd throw the dust on the ground. And Mom would always buy that.
Oh, okay. Well, that's how it worked. I never saw anybody actually buy one. So that's how they ended up working.
Oh, yeah. They were sold door to door. Anyway, what I want to talk to you about, I had a very interesting exchange. I was periodically, because I live in Talent, I'm sort of in between. I have to either go to Ashland or Medford to do grocery shopping. Mm-hmm. And I went over to the shopping cart. And that's a mixture of, you know, blue hair, old ladies, and purple hair, strange people.
Right.
And lots of people in masks, et cetera. And I was in the produce section, and I looked at, there's an old lady about 108 years old, but she's probably my age. But, I mean, obviously not living the same kind of lifestyle that I do because I'm very fortunate. And I'm white. Remember, I'm from the Bays Party.
Yes.
And she was looking at the asparagus, which was $8 a pound.
Whew, that's pretty pricey asparagus, but...
Right. Hmm. She looked at it. She looked at the conventional, which was $7, and the organic, and she reached for the organic, and I looked at her, and I said, choosing between paying the rent or buying the asparagus, right? Making a joke. I was making a joke.
Yeah.
And she said, she looked at me with all sincerity and said, I'm on food stamps. I don't even look at prices.
Interesting.
And I was taken aback a little. And she said, you know, I can get you on food stamps if you need assistance. And there's the food bank. And I said, no, I buy it when it's in season, when it's $2.95 now. It used to be $1.95, but I just don't buy it out of season. I have a budget. And she says, oh, you know, I never look at pricing. I just buy what I want.
What an interesting conversation there, though, Robin. That
it's not her money, right? It's my money. I spend my money on what I think is valuable, and I budget. And I said, it's because it's not your money. And she said, well, it is my money. And then she said, well, I guess it's really not my money, but it is my money. And we went back and forth. Like, anyway, I just thought it was very interesting. The first thing off the top was, I'm on food stamps. I don't care what it costs.
That is amazing. Now, I don't know how food stamps work, really. I've never been on the assistant. I've been fortunate. So is there, it's not unlimited though, is it? There's no, like, you just go get whatever you want, I don't think. Or is it where the food stamps?
You'd have to ask somebody who's on assistance. I am very lucky in that I worked for a long time. I've got a fairly decent Social Security and a whole bunch of savings.
Okay. All right. Well, good for you. What do you think about this particular, since you're bringing up food stamps and the lady said, well, I don't look at the prices because I'm on food stamps, which I guess in some respects, she's not having to make those decisions that people who aren't on food stamps might have to make. But I'm looking here on KDRV.com today. State lawmakers push to expand free school meals programs for all in the state of Oregon. And it says most public schools already take part in the state's School Meals for All program, providing free breakfast and lunch to students regardless of their family's income level. Regardless of income. So it doesn't matter if you can afford it. They want to give you...
I hate
it. You don't like that?
I hate the whole thing. No. I'm with Adam Carolla. You feed your own kid. You put the sandwich in the bag. You have healthy food. And the only thing, I mean, I love Lucretia because she and I agree on food. You got to have clean food. And what they feed these kids in school, it would make your hair fall out, honestly. So I'm against that whole thing. But
Well, my thing is, how do we decide, though? Now, I know the reason why they probably want this is that the economic plan for the state of Oregon is probably not to have very well-to-do people around, or not many of them. I mean, I think the goal is when they talk about we want affordable housing, let's just translate this to low-income welfare recipients. And so I think what they're hoping to do is not have to worry about earning a lot of money here or people having jobs. I think all they're concerned about is that no one's ever embarrassed because if everybody gets a free lunch, it doesn't matter. Because I remember that if you ended up getting subsidized in school lunch back when I was a kid, I guess there was a stigma, you know, attached to that. Your parents couldn't afford to feed you, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, I stayed well away from the cafeteria. I thought it smelled horrible.
Well, hey, listen, I liked the boiled spinach that the lunch ladies gave me. Hey,
I grew up in San Francisco. We had better food.
I like boiled spinach. I still like boiled spinach, really. I'm serious. I like boiled spinach. I like, Brussels sprouts and broccoli, too, you know, for that matter.
Brussels sprouts. It's not fall without eating Brussels sprouts.
Anymore. All right. Yeah, and they're good right now, that's for sure. Hey, Robin, I appreciate your call. Thanks for that. Interesting conversation. I don't worry about the prices because I'm on food stamps. Wow. Hi, good morning. Who's this? Welcome.
Good morning, Bill. It's Francine.
Hi, Francine.
Hi. I wanted to discuss a little bit about the food stamp issue that just came up. And I mean, I understand that there are a lot of people that take it for granted and just think, oh yeah, you know, it's free food. When I was in let me go back a little before that. When I was 17, I got in a car wreck, and this is in 1967, and I don't believe they, at that time, anybody had heard of such a thing as hepatitis C, and I was in the hospital, and I believe I must have had a transfusion or who knows what. I got hurt really bad. And I think that's how I contracted hepatitis C.
Yikes.
So I had it for many years, and I taught myself how to eat better and blah, 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 and try and take care of myself. And when I moved here to Oregon, I got a really wonderful gastroenterologist, and he kept saying,
Could you kind of speed it up a little bit? I'm just running late. I'm sorry. I don't mean to hurry you along.
On a study, when I discovered I had it down in California, the doctor suggested that I go on a drug study. This is before I understood about the evils of big pharma. and I was testing interferon. I got really, I messed me up. I had my own business. I was a website designer. Mm-hmm. I lost everything. I couldn't read a paragraph in a book, okay, from this drug that they put me on.
Wow.
So in my mid-40s, I ended up on disability, Social Security disability, all right? And that was not enough time to accrue a real Social Security income, you know? I'm down at the bottom.
Yeah, you didn't have the quarterlies in to the same extent. Yeah, your quarterly contribution.
Yeah.
Sure,
and,
okay.
And so,
what is your overall take on this? Because obviously you're going towards the food stamp thing, right?
Yeah, and so I do get food stamps. And if I didn't have food stamps, I would not be able to eat well. I am very careful when I shop. I buy good food. I mm-hmm. don't buy lots of garbage, I do buy organic. I buy less stuff and stick to the, you know, really healthy foods.
How does it work though? Do you have like a budget on it?
I appreciate it. I appreciate that I have this resource. You
All
know,
right.
I don't take it for granted.
Now, is it like a fixed amount on there each month you can spend? How
it's
does that work?
It's a fixed amount.
Okay.
It's a fixed amount, and it will carry over if you don't use it all, so it's not one of those things you have to hurry up and buy.
Oh, that's good.
Use it up.
Oh, that's very good. Very good.
Yeah, it will carry over. But it is a resource that really helps a lot of people. And so everyone, I understand her experience with that person saying that, but
yeah.
not everyone is like that who receives this assistance. Some
and point well taken. So
really appreciate it.
All right, so let me give you a real American salute, okay? You take care.
Oh, wow.
All right.
All right.
No. All right. It's okay, we'll hold the calls here for the moment. It's 7 minutes after 8. KMED, KMED, HD1, Eagle Point, Medford, KBXG, Grants Pass. We're going to catch up on some election integrity issues. Michael O'Neill from Landmark Legal, he's going to join me and give me some of the latest here as we approach less than 2 weeks before the election process.